You're listening to WRFU LP Urbana 104.5 FM. If you can hear us, you can be us. WRFU 104.5, community radio, homemade by the community, for the community.
What's up, y'all? This is your boy, DJ BJ Clark, with the After Work Drive Show, right here on 104.5 WRFU. I want to invite you to tune in every Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5 p.m. for the After Work Drive Show with your boy, DJ BJ Clark. I'll see you in the future.
104.5 WRFU.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of East to West. Thank you to my lovely assistant for helping me set up today. Today I just want to talk about a lamp and light, and what does a lamp have to do with anything in the gospel? When we think of a lamp, we think of, an object that lights the darkness. And so we're just going to talk about how we can become a lamp, how we're called to become a lamp. And when we get that light of God in us, what we're supposed to do with it and what we're not supposed to do with it. You know, many times, many times, we forget all too often in this troubled world that we do have a light inside of us that's supposed to burn bright and that's supposed to burn out the darkness in our lives, in the world's lives, in people's lives. And so, yeah. So we're just going to talk about that today. We're going to talk a little Super Bowl. I'd like to talk about that. Even though I don't have a dog in the fight per se, I'm still excited to watch it. I'm still excited to just see this competition, where these two teams are struggling to gain ground. Struggling to get to that end zone, to score just enough points to win and defeat the other team. But first of all, let's just get into it right now. So I'm going to read a parable from Luke chapter 8, and starts in verse 16. And it talks about the revealed light. This is what I like about this parable. It's not talking about a light. It's not talking about a dim light. It's not talking about a light that's supposed to be kept, hidden or turned off. It's a revealed light. God is saying to us, it's time that we turn the light switch on in our souls and in our walks with Him and in our life, so that way people can see the light of God. It says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who may enter may see the light. For nothing is sacred that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed all you, how you hear, for whoever has to him, more will be given, and whoever does not have, even though what he has seems will be taken from him. So this is a very, very, I feel like a very pivotal moment in our Christian life, in our Christian mindset, because it's just, God is very clearly calling us to be a light, to be a light to the world, to be a light to those who are struggling in their own darkness with whatever they're going through. It's time for us to set down our agendas and to set down our ideals and ideas and surrender those, that we may pick up this lampstand that God has given us to walk out into the darkness of someone's life and say, enter in, follow the light. A few years ago, my wife and I went to Prince Edward Island in Canada. Beautiful, one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. If you can picture rolling hills, mountains, trees, it's just blue sky, beautiful. It was just absolutely beautiful. And we got to go to this cove, and it had probably one of the most photographed lighthouses in the world. You know, it's amazing. It's just beautiful. It's rustic. It's just awesome. I've never ever seen a lighthouse in person. I've never been to one, but just the magnitude of it, just walking up and seeing this thing, this building with this huge light on top, and knowing that for hundreds of years, sailors could sail their ships into this cove by that light. Even when it was foggy, they knew to look for the light, and they knew that light would guide them to safety. That light would guide them into this cove. And it was just amazing. I mean, it's just one of the most fond memories I've ever had. It was amazing. We got to go in, go up to the top, look around. And it's just crazy to think that this symbol, you know, of this lighthouse really, if we think about it, really represents that Christian light that God has put in us to just walk out and light out the world. It's just amazing. I love it. You know, other places it talks about how you don't, you know, when I was a child, you know, in school, Sunday school, we'd always sing that, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Sorry, I cannot sing very well, but you remember the song. And it's talking about, I'm not gonna put it under a bush, I'm not gonna put it under a rock, I'm gonna let it shine. And it's just amazing that at such an early age that song was implanted into me. Now, further on down the road, that light wasn't as bright as it should have been, you know. But it was still there. And it's still there with you. It's still there with all of us. There's a light inside of us. And that light can be come in the form of compassion, mercy, grace, forgiveness, trust, do-overs. I mean, I think one of the greatest things we can do for our broken relationships or for somebody that's wounded us is a do-over. It's amazing. It's a do-over. You know, let's try this again. Let's wipe the slate clean. Let's do this again. I mean, it's just amazing how when we do that, how that light just intensifies. I mean, it's like, you know, when you walk into a room and you turn the light on for the first few seconds, your eyes are kind of, you know, trying to adjust to this light. But boy, man, aren't we glad that we had the light in the darkness to see, you know, what we couldn't see before? I'm glad I have a light, because I tell you, I probably would be wearing a lot of mismatched socks to work. Because, you know, the light helps us to see what we need to see. It helps provide that light that we can use to guide our life, to help guide other people's life. You know, a few nights ago, you know, we did one winter night. Amazing. Amazing. I love that it's done in the dark. I love that it's done in the dark of night, because in the dark of night, you just see all these, it's like I see all these little lampstands, you know, by the boxes, in the volunteer room, in the registration area, you know, on the smiles. I see hundreds of lampshades out there. You know, it's just, for me, they're not just box dwellers. They're not just somebody who wants to spend the night in the cold and say, "Woohoo, I spent the night in a box." I think these are actual lampstands, and I think when we look at each other, we need to see each other as lampstands. And some of us may need a bulb change, or a little oil added to the wick, but we're all lampstands. We're all capable of shining light in the darkness. You know, God has given us that. That's I believe, one of the great mighty things that we are inherently born with is this light that can be used to light things and to cast out darkness and to cast out fear and to cast out, you know, just things that that cause uncertainty and that cause, you know, it's just wonderful. I just love it. I love talking about the light. I love talking about helping people. And, you know, and I think when we can really wrap our mind around this concept that everybody has a lampstand inside them, everybody has this bulb inside of them that's either turned on or turned off. And with us having ours turned on and letting us let the light of God shine through our lives, I think it helps them to realize how easy it is to turn the switch on. You know, God's not asking us to build a house here. You know, he's not asking us to wire people. He's not asking us to wire our own selves. He's just asking us, turn your light on and don't hide it. You know, don't go in a dark room and turn your light on, because a light in a dark room is just a light in a dark room. But a light in the world, when you're out in the world and people see this light in you and they see this joy and they just see this compassion, oh my gosh, it just changes. It changes everything. It does. I've seen it. I know it. I'm not just saying this in hopes that it'll work. I know it works. I know it does. I've seen so many people just changed by the light of God, because the light that's in us is not our light. We can't boast about our light. Our light is God's light. Our job is to be the vessel, to be that lampstand for God. You know, he just loves it. You know, he talks about in Revelation, you know, he talks about the churches and the lampstands, you know, and how they are in danger of having their lampstand taken away from them because they have forgotten their first love, to love the Lord and to love the neighbors with all their heart, soul, and mind, you know. And so I don't want to see anybody's lampstand taken away. I don't. I want to see it burning bright. I want it to be burning so bright that darkness has no chance to even think about entering the picture. Now, is that a little lofty? Sure. But what does God say in the Bible? With man things are impossible, but with God, what? What does he say? But with God, all things are possible. And so I just believe that. I just believe that, you know, he can do that. You know, and when we really let our lampstand shine, I believe that we can really begin to walk in unity, because we're all striving for that same goal, to cast out darkness. When we have our lampstands burning brightly and we're realizing our true identity in Christ, that we are to be these beacons of light for those lost in this broken and dark world, that we're supposed to be these beacons that are not only reaching out, but pointing back, pointing up to Jesus. It's just amazing. It's amazing. I love it. We end up ultimately just walking in unity. You know, it just says, you know, Paul talks about it in Ephesians. In Ephesians 4, he says, you know, he talks about there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So if he's in us, then the light is in us. And it is our job to keep that light burning. It is our job to keep that light flowing so that people can see, especially in these times that we're going through. You know, people talk about, oh, the light at the end of the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel. I always had to remind them, the light is already in the tunnel. The light was at the beginning of the tunnel. The light is in the tunnel. The light is at the end of the tunnel. We don't have to go through this dark tunnel to get to the light. God has already done that for us by sending Jesus. He came through the tunnel. He brought light through the tunnel. The tunnel's already been lit. We just have to realize that, and we have to grab that. You know, in Ephesians 5, he talks about, you know, for once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, you know, and have, you know, just reach out and realize that we are supposed to walk in this fantastic light. You know, I always, like going back to One Winter Night, I always find it interesting that I'm always reminded that it takes me getting into a box to help me get out, to think out of the box. You know, I get in the box to spend the night, but it always helps me to remind myself to get out of my own box and to get out of my own judgments and own preconceived notions. I've really gotten to connect with a guy who hangs out a lot at Springfield and Mattis. Young guy. I've been able to just chat with him a few times. You know, I brought him breakfast the other day. And it's just amazing. I'm telling you, it's just amazing that when God touches him in those conversations, and God, even though he's feels trapped in this situation, that there's a lampstand. I don't know how better to say it than there's just this little light that seeks him out, that seeks to help him in this time of struggle that he's going through. And it's just amazing. I love him. He's just a good kid. It's just let the world's darkness get to him. And I pray every day before I go to work. First of all, I pray, Lord, give me your words, and Lord, give me your light. Because sometimes it's hard to hear the words, but not so hard always to see the light. And I just love it. You know, there was old Hank Williams sang, you know, one of my favorite country songs of all time, and I know you guys know it. I saw the light. It's just amazing, because you just hear in his voice, you know, that physical manifestation, that physical picture of what it really is supposed to feel like when you see the light of God in your life. I mean, the light of God is so powerful that, I mean, when Jesus had the transfiguration and the light of God, the power of God shone through him, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, it was like they didn't know what to do. They were like, should we build altars? What should we do? And Jesus was like, just enjoy it. Just soak in it. You know, just enjoy that and realize.
Never found. final step. Gonna sing this song to my final breath. Let the weight of this world go. Gonna be no tears, gonna be no pain. When I see that smile on my Savior's face, I won't be walking, I'll be running home. He called my name, yeah, and he stole my shame. Everything changed when I came running home. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, everybody. Hey, what's up, Champaign Urbana? Hey, this is Chuck Simpson here on East to West 104.5. I'm excited to be with you here for the next few minutes. It's been a minute, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited about talking about what community looks like and love, because that's the only way community really survives is when we love each other. With all this division and hate out there, it's not going to survive. It's just going to implode, and we're going to be left with scraps, and we're going to be left with wondering, how in the world did we get here? I'll tell you how. We forgot how to love each other. We forgot to give people hope and joy and love, and it's just completely awesome that I'm talking about this today, because I've really just been reading the story in 2 Kings. It's just amazing. So there's this widow whose husband apparently has died, and she goes to Elisha, who's a prophet back then, and asks for some help. And Elisha says, well, what do you got? What do you got in your house? And she goes, all I got is this little oil flask. And he says, well, go home, fill up your barrels, go to your neighbors, ask for them, for their barrels, and fill them up. So she's like, okay. So she goes home and starts filling up the barrels. And what's amazing is that the barrels, her oil flask, never gets empty. Never. So when she runs out of her oil, or her barrels, she goes and asks her son to go get more barrels. And they go, and he comes, and he goes, and he comes, and he goes. And then he's finally like, we're out. That's it. We've got every neighbor's barrel. We've got every barrel. We've been down to the local barrel store. We bought all the barrels they had full. And her flask was still full. So she goes to Elisha and she tells Elisha what happened, that she has all these full barrels. And he says, well, now go and sell them all, pay off your debts, and then you and your son can live on the rest. Now that you and your son can live on the rest is what really, really just gets me fired up about God, because he could have just stopped at meeting their needs then and there in that moment. He could have just stopped at that moment and said, okay, your debts are paid. We're good. Have a nice life. See you later. He could have done that, but he didn't. Through Elisha, he showed a woman who was brokenhearted from losing a husband, who thought she had nothing to offer, nothing to sustain life, nothing to just feel joyful about getting up in the morning, to having her debts completely paid. And not only that, he says, now go and you and your son live off the rest. Oh, man, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what kind of just wonderful bewilderment that widow and her son must have experienced when they saw they had their debts paid off and a surplus. And I just feel like that's what we need to do with each other. When somebody comes to ask us for help, whatever it is, we need to make sure that every barrel in their house is full of hope and full of whatever they need, and that they have an excess to be able to live off of that, and not just say, hey, okay, here, we fixed this problem. See ya. Have a nice life. You know, it's not like that guy on the TV show. Remember that guy who used to, the rotisserie guy? He would set the timer, and what would he say? He would say, "Set it and forget it." But we can't do that. We gotta bless it and remember it, and just wrap ourselves around each other, because there's a lot of need out there, everybody. A lot of need. I know you all know that. You don't need me telling you that. I mean, we see it all the time. You can see it on the news. You can see it on the streets. You can see it in your own homes. You can see it within your own family. And when we neglect to offer hope to people, then we're really neglecting hope from ourselves. Because when we get to walk that journey with somebody who's struggling with no hope, and then all of a sudden the light comes on and they're like, "Oh my goodness, I do have some hope. Hope has been there the whole time. I just couldn't see it." And thank you for sharing that with me, and thank you for helping me deal with that. But we can't just take them to the end of the street. We can't take them to the end of the fence. We got to walk all the way around the block with them. We got to make sure that they're taken care of. We got to make sure that their needs are met. You know, because one day we may need somebody to walk around the block with us. And hopefully somebody will be there and somebody can help. Because I'm telling you, we can knock this division out if we just get back to the basics of loving each other, supporting each other, giving each other hope. Whatever that looks like, however that is obtained, just give somebody some hope today. Give somebody some hope for tomorrow. You know, don't just say, "Hey, today was a good day." That's great. But I always want to say, tomorrow's going to be a better day. You know, and it can be when we grasp this idea of what Elisha was trying to teach, is that we don't just give for the now. We don't just feed the need for now. We feed the need for later. You know, we feed the need for tomorrow and next week and next month and next year and whatever it takes and however long it takes. You know, we can't put a timetable on how we help people. We can't say, "Okay, you got a week, that's it." I mean, how do we put a timetable on somebody's recovery? We can't. I've been sober for, what is this now? I've been sober 16 years, and I'm still walking that journey. I'm still having to find hope every day that keeps me from going back down that dark road. 16 years later, and I'm sure glad the guys that are in my life that help me walk every day, my sobriety every day, then say, "Okay, you got a year, we're out of here. Got to do it on your own." And I get that picking yourself up and dusting yourself off. I get that. But you got to have people that are going to be willing to walk alongside and say, "You know what? It's a struggle. I'm willing to struggle with you. I'm willing to be beaten by the winds with you." Because I know in the long run, when we can weather that storm,